This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, Ben. Good morning to you, and especially to you.
Hello.
Good morning.
What's happening, everybody?
Ooh.
Sexy new studio. Yeah, we're here to start the year off right for you. So that's what that's pretty much what we exist for.
For you.
Yeah, exactly. Take a big deep breath. You're back. It's 2017. We are 100% live. Watch. I'll tell you the time now. It is 6:05 and 48 seconds on the 9th of January. There we go. Just to prove it.
Where'd you get that time from?
My laptop. Because we've got the old school clock up on the wall here, which is it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell precisely what the time is over there.
It doesn't even have a second. Mm-mm. The second hand. It's just
Yeah, it's just the two big ones.
Yes.
You've got the hour and the minutes. That's all we got. So, what can we start with? I can't believe that we were off for two whole weeks. It feels like it was 5 minutes, right?
I don't know. For me, it felt like a month. It felt like 2 months. It felt so long.
Yeah, Ben sent me a message last night to say, I don't want to misquote you because you get very uptight about these things.
No, I get uptight when you read messages that I've sent you.
Stop sending them, Ben.
Good point.
Gotta let the audience in on what really goes on, you know? Where is this goddamn thing? I kind of got that many messages since Ben messaged me last night. No, he just said, holidays were way too long.
Ooh.
Do you really feel that way?
Personally, I felt it up until about 3:58 this morning, and then it wasn't long enough.
Okay.
Yeah, Gareth, it definitely felt like it was too long because, look, I suppose if you have your own business too, you might understand what I'm saying here. You get to a point where you're refreshed and you're rejuvenated, and then you're just sitting around. And then you've got this horrible kind of feeling you're unemployed and you're on holiday. It's one of the two. Mm. So for me, I need a week, and that's what I realize now. That is my big lesson going to 2017. I need shorter holidays.
I think
that's me.
I think that's sensible. I don't ever think I've had a holiday that was longer than 10 days, and 10 days always felt too long.
Yeah, when you got things to do, like I need to be stimulated the whole time. I'm like a small child, and sitting around doing very little, relaxing as they say, I don't need it.
Yeah, I know people who are on holiday constantly for like 6 months of the year, and I don't understand how they live.
They're on drugs.
I don't know.
Must be on drugs.
You can't post that much of Instagram and be thrilled with your life. Sorry. Bit of early morning.
A bit of early morning what?
Yeah. Well, there are a couple of surprises coming up this morning. I've got lots to talk to you about. We've got Jub Jub to discuss. You got Carrie Fisher, George Michael. We got the ANC's 105th birthday.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
And for old time's sake, I got some Pat Robertson for you.
What, has he got New Year's resolutions?
You won't believe what this guy's saying to people. It's only just turned 2017, and he's already got advice for everybody. Oh, by the way, you can message us. As usual, all the things that you used to get hold of us on are all there. And you can keep on doing that. You know what to do. You can WhatsApp us, too. Did you know about this?
Oh, we have a WhatsApp number?
We have a WhatsApp line on 079-748-2090. So put that in your phone. And, you know, it's one other way for you to get hold of us. You can Skype us if you'd like to. Cliff Central, one word. You can message us to screen on the on the WeChat, and you can get hold of us also on cliffcentral.com. You know how to do that, too. So,
can I ask this one more time on that WhatsApp number?
079-748-2090.
Okay.
So it works like any other WhatsApp conversation. You just load it on your phone, and you just talk to us like you would to a group of your friends.
Ben is storing that number on his phone. So besides WhatsApp and Gareth, are you also going to send messages to our WhatsApp line, Ben?
I am. Of course I am.
Of course he's got rude ones. All right. Well, I don't even know where to start except maybe with this brilliant email that I got from Pumela that made me feel really happy to be back here. She said, hi, first of all, I love you. I listen to you every day. My name is Pumela. I'm from Port Elizabeth. I'm 24 years old. The thing is, there's not much I want to say. I'm just one of those listeners who never really need to say anything. I just listen. I love you guys so much. Wishing you all the best for this year. Say hi to Ms. Molloy. Can I taste your juice? And to Mr. Ben. Mr. Ben, look at that. And Ms. Molloy. Look at how formal Pumela is with you two. One day I'd love to work with you guys to learn from you. Okay, thanks. Hope you read this email live. Well, there it is, Pumela. We've read it. So that's how things start. Also, Quentin sent me this. Quentin, a longtime listener of ours, sent me this email. He discovered an old podcast while he was traveling around over the holidays.
Okay.
I think a lot of people did. I listened to so many podcasts. I listened to The Laws of Life. I listened to a Gas Comedy Podcast. And by the way, those guys will be joining us on Friday as our studio guests. We haven't ever had Dave and Eric in the studio with us. So we'll have them in on Friday. Here's what he says. Happy New Year. Hope your show will grow from strength to strength this year. As you know, I'm a big fan. I've been listening from day one, and I will continue to do so. Yesterday, on our way back from holiday, it was a 500-kilometer drive. We downloaded and listened to all of Rich Mulholland's Reality Check podcasts because I haven't listened to them before. But man, what a treat. Now I have some wisdom for the year. Long may that segment continue. And, you know, there are going to be a couple of changes. I don't want to upset anybody, or you know, people get very nervous when you say there are going to be changes.
Well, you know, we get into a routine where a habit has been established and we get comfortable in it. And then you come with your threatening changes.
Well, I promise you're not going to hate any of these changes. There are just going to be some things that we're going to tweak to make the show better, to give you more of what you want and less of what you don't. And, you know, you can always send us all your comments. I'd like to hear what you think. And, you know, we can get the formula just right for you. Because what we're doing here is it's unique in the world. There's nobody, and I've listened to so much American talk radio. I've listened to so much podcast stuff. I've really tried my best to do as much market research in this area as possible. It's my business, you know. This is what I do in my spare time when I'm not actually at work. And there isn't a single show I can think of anywhere in the world that is both a live streaming show and a podcast. Usually they record for podcast, and it's never daily. And it's never for 3 hours. Or they do a live 3-hour show like they do in radio, but that's never podcast. So this is really unique in a lot of ways, and I just hope that we're getting the formula right. I also think this is the year for us to really take control and to just win, because we're turning 3 in May. It doesn't feel like we've been here 3 years.
No, it doesn't.
And I'm very excited about what that holds. I think that our third year was always going to be the one that we would really see massive success in. And thank you to everybody who's joined us from the very beginning. So now with that out of the way, because I did want to mention it, let me explain what some of the changes might be. I think we're going to have, you know, a lot of people love the interviews, and we're going to keep those. Flax decided he's going to go off and pursue a spiritual journey of some kind. You know, he was getting a little esoteric, for my liking, towards the end of last year, and talking about this road trip and you know, how they were going to go and, I don't know, meditate on the beach or whatever it was. But I spoke to him just the other day, and he's definitely on a different journey now. So he's going to go off for a couple of months and figure himself out, and he'll report back to us within the next few weeks about how his journey's going, because I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been a part of our lives for a long time. But we've got a familiar face coming back to join us in a little while, be here in about 45 minutes, that you will recognize. And there will be some changes. We're going to be doing a lot more stuff that is, I suppose you could call it snackables. You know, the kind of stuff where you would be able to listen for 5 to 10 minutes, get what you really want out of something, and then not have to listen to the whole show, and then also provide the whole show for those people who do want it. So you really have just more options. In other words, if you listen to the first hour of the show, part one, which a lot of people like to do, you get the news, the sport, you get Anthea, you get us talking some nonsense, you get some fun stuff in there. But you could also just listen to Ben's sport, right? So we're going to break the show up into little bits like that where you can get precisely what you want. So there'll be a little more in the way of kind of news and views and interviews and all that kind of thing. But there'll also be a bite-sized podcast stuff that you'll be able to get, which I feel that we really are the best at in South Africa, if not on the continent. And I feel we should carry on trying to be the best at. So that's definitely on my agenda. And who knows? There are going to be some other things on cliffcentral.com over the next while that I think should get you very excited. But we'd love to hear from you. And you know what to do. Yeah, look, someone says, yo, does this work? And then someone says, this is fucking awesome. Well done and happy new year to you all from Abu Dhabi. Wow, that's nice. And 2017 is on its way. This is from... See, the problem is with WhatsApp, you have to tell me what your name is because it doesn't come up automatically.
Just numbers.
Yeah, it just says at whatsapp.net, and I don't want your phone number. Some of them look like ID numbers. They're too long to be phone numbers.
They're international numbers.
Okay, that would explain it. Yes, Abu Dhabi. Otherwise, I was thinking, okay, that person was born in 97. and then there's one 27, which is obviously South Africa's dialing code, right? And then that one... Who was born in 1927 is listening to us. All right. And just to get you in the mood, I mean, there's always a lot of fun stuff to get into and there's lots to talk about. And this morning will be no different. We're obviously not bound to having to play the music that we used to play on touchcentral.fm. So we're a lot more free here to do the kind of stuff that you like, the more long form stuff. But I also thought there's plenty of room for fun. And this morning, why don't we hear from an old friend, Casey Kasem's corpse.
Oh, yes, of course.
Casey Kasem.
We haven't heard from the corpse in a while.
He used to be the biggest countdown jock in the world.
Yes.
He did a global show where he would tell you what the number 10, number 9, number 8, number 7, and so on songs in the world were.
Big deal.
And in radio, this was always the biggest thing. I mean, people used to think it was amazing. What, he can count backwards and he can put a song on each number? This is stupendous.
With the same pitch and tone.
It was just phenomenal. So when he died, his wife dragged his corpse around the world for a long time because she didn't want his kids to make claims on the will and a whole lot of stuff. So until they could have the medical examination done, she wasn't happy for them to. And eventually, I think they burned him up.
Oh, my goodness. It was a horrible family dispute that lasted months. I mean, his poor corpse at one point was just kind of floating around.
That was shocking. So his corpse is still in business, believe it or not.
Ah, well,
He's still doing countdowns. Here he is with the most popular ways to die in our continent, Africa. Isn't that nice of him doing a countdown, was always best at?
Hello, everyone. This is Casey Kasem's body with yet another fantastic countdown. Yeah. This time, the top 5 ways to die in Africa.
Casey, count it down.
Casey's corpse. Shooting up the charts to number 5 this week, it's that pesky Ebola. Bloody diarrhea, anyone? Coming in at number 4, Somali pirates. Look out, Tom Hanks, they're coming for you. I know it's an old reference, but give me a break, I'm dead.
I'm the captain now.
Holding steady at number 3, no surprise here, it's being shot by a man with no legs. Knocking starvation out of the countdown and moving up to number 2 this week, it's Hungry Hungry Hippo. And holding on to that coveted number 1 spot,
can you guess?
It's good old-fashioned homegrown AIDS.
Yes.
Well, there you have it. This is Casey Kasem, your number 1 source for all things dead. Bye for now.
Sure.
Took a lot of time producing that, obviously.
That sounds excellent, though.
All right, we're just getting started. I hope you're having a good start to your morning. Call us, tell us what you got up to. You can get us on the Skype. It's Cliff Central, one word. For some reason, I'm not entirely sure whether the phones work on the old lines, but you can always Skype us. It's a much clearer line anyway, so let me hear what you think over there. You know what to do. All right, let's get cracking. I want to settle in here. We need some sunshine and your love, some cream. You can also look forward a little later on to a guy who's going to help you to set up 2017 to be your year.
It's getting near dawn. When lights close the tired eyes, I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my dull surprise. We'll be right back.
I was listening to such good music over the holidays. Oh, man. I've got to give credit. Like, I went away on a little family holiday, which was nice. My sister actually had a cooler playlist than I would have imagined. You don't imagine your little sister has a cool playlist, right?
Well, no, I guess it kind of makes you feel like you were a little bit lame for her being cooler than you.
I was totally lame, but she had some very, very good music. I got to give her credit where it's due. Okay. Can we start with porn this morning?
Yeah, sure.
But, Tung, I mean, it's like 6:22 a.m. Is this... Do we just want to, like... go at it.
South Africa has made the top 20 most frequent users list of the world's largest porn portal Pornhub for the first time. Let's give ourselves a pat on the back there and a round of applause. Well done,
shame.
South Africa.
Shame.
What a great country we are. We finally made the Pornhub top 20. That's a, you know, in line with Casey Kasem. He would have said, you're on the Pornhub top 20. I'm Casey Kasem. Let's count him down. And here we are. Means for the first time that we're beating the rest of the continent in porn watching. And that's impressive, because there are places on this continent where I would imagine people watched a lot more porn.
Like where?
I would have always thought that the DRC was up there, you know, because what else do they do all day?
Yeah, but Gareth...
It's either civil war or porn.
I think we've got to look into deeper meaning here. This is a real success story for this country. And yes. I'm not trying to make a joke here. It means there's more internet access going to rural parts of this country.
Well, let me tell you why we know it's especially among black people that the usage of Pornhub has gone up.
Well, we have the numbers.
Numbers are good, but the biggest search on Pornhub, because you've got categories.
Yo, you've got MILF, you've got...
Right. Now, this could be white people who are into black porn, but it's ebony.
Makes sense.
Of course. So, ebony is the biggest category, but the world's favorite categories like lesbian, stepmom, and MILF, they're also near the top of South Africa's search statistics. We climbed 4 places in 2016, contributing to the just over 90 billion video views on Pornhub around the world. That's a jump of 12 spots. And at number one for the country, the search for ebony can be attributed to an increase in the access to the internet, but also to porn viewing by blacks. I think another reason to be very, very proud. Internet access is spreading. What do people want with it? Porn.
Porn. Yes.
Also, though, whites becoming more enlightened towards porn. Let's also look into
That's true, because they'll probably want a lot more interracial porn, which is very good. I mean, we know that some of our best, before the internet was big, there was Mapuna, which was this, you remember?
Mapuna, you're right.
You remember.
It was a local production.
That's right.
I can't remember. Where was it filmed? Kosoweto, I can't remember.
Somewhere. There was a very much a local production.
No, it was. It definitely was. Yeah. But it involved a DVD release and everything.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, here are some other interesting things you need to know. While the trend is towards more fantasy scenarios, people don't like too much reality, believe it or not. They like fantasy. Lesbian remains the most popular search for the second year running internationally. And that's attributed to what?
ISIS.
No.
What?
ISIS. How the hell do you come to ISIS?
Because they, deep down, they all love what we love. Mixed, you know, mixing things up.
Do you have any idea of how difficult it is to get a signal in Afghanistan or Syria or Iraq?
Those guys get whatever they want. They have some of the best viral videos in the whole world. Telling me they're not watching porn as well.
All right, no, it's not ISIS, Ben. That's the wrong answer.
Oh, what is the right answer?
Well, the interest of men in bisexual female sexuality.
Yeah, that's obvious.
And then more bisexual women accessing online porn.
Yeah, but also, you know, we don't have these hang-ups that you straight men do about watching lesbians. I mean, you know, some you still get those straight guys who'll be like, I'll never watch two guys having sex. You know what I'm saying?
Well, mine, yeah.
But I mean, for women, it's like, whatever, man. So I saw two girls doing it. So
but also more boobs, less boners. I mean, there's also that for guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Double pleasure, none of the pain. In the US, stepmom, cartoon, and stepsister are the most frequent searches.
You go, middle America.
That's something interesting, right? I mean, it's not incest if it's a step-parent or a stepsister. But we know that it's close to the line.
It's uncomfortably close.
It's close to the line. This is something people never talk about. You know, if you look at the newspapers, people always talk about murder and rape and corruption and all this stuff. I wonder how much of this goes on. People having sex with their stepsisters and stepmoms. And, you know, we know incest is a real thing, and it's revolting, and it's a problem. But I wonder how much we just don't talk about, because it's not acceptable socially for people to talk about this stuff. But when they're on Pornhub, they're busy clickety-click-click-click, let me find some family stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right? This whole thing about lesbians and being gay is a sin and all this kind of stuff. Lesbians the top post, right? The biggest climber in the top 20, lesbian scissoring, is up 28 spots.
It's also called, there's another word for it.
Cooker stump.
No, tribbing.
Tribbing, really?
Yeah, there's another word for it.
Do women get pleasure? I don't assume you've had
that experience. You know, the female form is also very beautiful to watch.
Yes, but so, I'm talking about scissoring in particular.
What do you mean?
Does that deliver the pleasure that...
I don't know. I've never done it.
Come on, my buddy. You're the only woman on the show.
No, but watching
you've
it...
You've got to know the stuff.
No. Watching it does bring pleasure, so I'm assuming that engaging in it would bring tremendous.
Well, Gareth, bad news for you. Your favorite category is down 11 spots.
What's that?
Squirt porn down 11.
What?
It's the big tumbler in this in 2016. But just speaking about all of that, you know what all of this porn actually breaks down to? If you had to work out what was watched...
Hang on. I think something's gone wrong with my microphone here.
What?
Well, I don't know. It's suddenly very soft. Why don't you see if Balesa's around? Switch this thing back on. See, hello. 1, 2. Can you hear me properly?
Yeah, it sounds fine to me. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of put this into perspective for you, you mentioned there was almost 93 billion videos watched. If you work out all the porn that was watched in 2016, yeah, it comes to 5,246 centuries.
What?
That much time has been spent watching porn.
Last year, 5,246 centuries of porn was viewed. That works out to be 729 videos a second.
Wow.
Sorry, visits. Right,
that's
a second.
Visits a second.
That's quite a lot.
You know, you mentioned stepsister, and you know how Ben and I were saying that that's uncomfortably close.
Yeah.
A friend of mine brought this to my attention. Some girl put up a screenshot of a WhatsApp conversation that she had with her brother after she accidentally sent him nude pictures of herself.
What?
Cringe.
Oh, that is horrible.
So after she sent the pictures to him by mistake, he says, "What demons are possessing you, dude? I'm traumatized. What's wrong, Nana? Talk to me. Don't let the devil fill your mind with filth, little sis."
Oh, man.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Can you imagine, though?
Oh, that's got to be the one. Can't you recall messages? Didn't WhatsApp give you the opportunity to recall something like that if you...
That is new, yeah.
Can you do that?
Yep.
Even after the blue tick thing?
No, see, once the person's seen it, they can't be unseen.
Yeah.
But if it's a gray tick?
But if it's in the ether, so to speak, you can.
All right, so if it's a gray tick, can you remove it?
Yeah.
If it's two gray ticks? Because remember, there's one gray tick, and then there's two gray ticks, and then it's the blue ticks.
Okay, well, I think people must go and find out today. Go play around with it. Send something really inappropriate. Live on the edge and try to recall it, and let us know how it goes.
Send something inappropriate to your mom or dad. What?
Delete. Okay, but that won't delete the original message, right?
It should do. Anyway, not important. I want to know what hentai is. Anyone?
No idea.
It's on the list. I don't want to Google it, but I think
imagine it sounds like that Japanese anime type thing.
Mm, that's what I was thinking.
Yep, it's definitely.
It's cartoons, right?
It's definitely hentai porn. See, if I'm gonna click this, and then Palesa's gonna look at my screen and go, "Oh, I'm working with sickos now."
Oh, well.
Yeah, it is. It's anime porn. Hmm. Oh my gosh.
Well, do you know what? Here's some countries that are into some very interesting stuff. Indians and Germans are very patriotic. They like looking for their own stuff, so they type in a lot of Indian and German in India and Germany.
Okay.
Australians like virtual reality.
Okay.
And Italians are all about the category MILF. They love MILF porn. Most popular time for viewing?
At work.
No, not at work. I'm pleased to say, like, humans, maybe we may all be really messed up creatures, but
I'm going to go with sometime in the evening.
Yeah, you'd be right. Between 10 o'clock at night and 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah, that's quite late.
And 61% of viewers across the site use their mobile phones, while the desktop comes in handy at second place. So people use their phones.
Well, you can be most discreet in your phone. Like, I could be looking at hentai porn right now while I'm looking at you two. I'm not, but
I
could
be. Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen someone in a public place, on public transport, in the office? Because you can hide your phone to a certain degree. But have you ever seen someone looking at stuff like that while they're at work or while they're in public, and they just were very open about it, that's on their phone?
Not yet.
No, the closest that I've come to an incident like that is, you know when somebody sends you a link to something and then you open it, but you're not sure what you're opening, and then it catches you by surprise, and then you try and close it quickly because you don't want to freak out the people around you. Okay. I saw that happen to a guy once.
Shame. All right, let's get straight into some news, because this is where we give you all the info you need. In the next half hour, you get news, you get sport, you get money, everything you need. Well, you don't get money, but you get to find out about money. Wouldn't it be nice if I could offer you money? So here it is. Here's Mabali Moloi with the news headlines, brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. It's a brand new year, and Colcacchio want you to know they have your back. Now, let me tell you. We ended last year on a very high note with Colcacchio. We had lots and lots of, you see, what was that sound?
Yeah, I heard that too.
It's a very odd noise to suddenly creep in. There might be creatures living in our desk. They ended the year on a high with a lot of end-of-year parties and Christmas functions and all that stuff happening there. They've got their Celebrity Chef series, which is ongoing. A new menu for summer, which we told you about, and you can also get into their loyalty program. But this is probably the most exciting part of it, is that if you download their app and you do join their loyalty program, you could get free slices. And before you know it, you've got a whole bunch of pizzas for zero. They can cost you absolutely nothing if you gather enough rewards. So get involved. Get onto that ASAP. All right, Mubs, what do you got for us in the news?
Look, busy weekend for the ANC over the last couple of days, as the president and the African National Congress's National Executive Committee, partied away. And the president delivered his final January 8th statement, plotting the way forward for the ANC
Heard it was a very expensive occasion.
Oh, well, I don't have that kind of detail for you. But yes, the president addressed what is reported to have been a packed Orlando Stadium over the weekend. I saw that there were some very serious attempts by all sorts of people on Twitter, from Julius Malema and them, to try and not get South Africans to attend this event.
Oh, really?
People, yes.
They were actively
guilt-tripping people, saying that if you attend this event, you're a traitor of sorts. You know, they were really working it hard. And look, part of what the president said was that the ANC as an organization acknowledges the mistakes that they've made. The president said that, you know, the party needs to take South Africans' needs into consideration. He spoke about the party playing a role in uniting South Africans and instilling hope in people.
Do we believe him? Do we believe anything from this guy anymore? I know it's a new year and I'm willing to open a brand new page in the diary, but I just don't see it. Apparently people had to pay 23,000 rand or something to sit at the president's table. If you made a donation, a big enough donation, you could sit at his table.
Wasn't it 2 million?
I don't know. 2.3 million, sorry.
Yeah.
23,000.
Sorry.
Because he would have to pay me 23,000 to sit at his table. Can you imagine? I have to make some massive donation to sit at his table. So I don't know. I also think the ANC's got nothing to celebrate right now. Right now, they've got zero to celebrate. We had one of the worst years in South African economic history last year. There are more people on welfare than ever before, and that's not something to be proud of, by the way. That just means that the burden on the state is bigger. We have too many people employed in the government and in the bureaucracy. We have terrible election results for the ANC, so they themselves should be shamed at this stage. Every other party increased. It's just, it's an embarrassing time to be in the ANC. Every second minister has got their finger in some pie they shouldn't have. You got Nomvula Mokonyane, who actually said the following line. She said, "I'm wearing a Louis Vuitton belt and shoes."
Congratulations.
She says, "The ANC has been good to me."
Well, it's been good to you.
Yeah.
Now, has it been as good to the masses?
Absolutely, definitely not. There are people, especially the people who have been voting for and supporting the ANC all across this country, mostly in rural areas, mostly in places where they will never have access to the kinds of things that we regard as human rights in the cities. You know, the internet, running water, electricity, a toilet that flushes, all these things that we take for granted. These people, the poorest of the poor, the people who live in the middle of the sticks, who vote ANC every time out of party loyalty and because they think that the whites are coming back or whatever. But these people are taken advantage of completely. Their lives have hardly improved by a millimeter since 1994. And there were chances they could. And the only way to improve those people's lives, by the way, is number one, emancipate the women. Number two, give people free access to information. And number three, grow the economy. Because if you don't grow the economy, no one can get jobs. How do they earn money? How do they send their kids to school? How do we improve the Angie Mutsheha going on? I mean, I can't believe we have to talk about this a week later, but they put out the matric results, and I'm sure you were going to get to it. We've got so much to talk about, you can tell, right?
Mm.
What a disgrace. I mean, I know that she's trying to paint this picture that everything's okay, but we have the lowest levels of math literacy in the world in South Africa, in the world. That means there are children smacking rocks together in Afghanistan who live in caves and shit where they eat, who are more literate than we are in terms of maths. Are you kidding me? We have a semblance of a basic education system, a very basic education system, it needs to be said. And yet we have the lowest literacy levels in maths in the world? Certainly, there are African countries where they don't even have governments and they have better maths literacy than we do. Somalia. Do you know who the president of Somalia is? Do you know whether they have a parliament or not? Probably not. But they have maths literacy. At least at a level that beats us. And Angie's going to tell us how the matric results were good? Please. I don't know one person who's hiring people in South Africa at the moment who will take a matric certificate for anything except hard labor. So what are we doing? We're pushing kids through the sausage machine of education. And I see Prof. Jonathan Janssen wrote this brilliant article about this. And then he got lambasted for being a neo-colonialist or whatever by the very same people who are anti-education. So I don't know who to listen to anymore. But I will say that we have a major problem in education, and I think that's clear to everyone, including Angie, when she sobers up and tells us the truth. What else is in the news?
Well, a lot of those matriculants that you speak about, Gareth, are really about to be, you know, tested in terms of what happens next in their future. Because, you know, South African universities have received thousands upon thousands of first-year applications, but unfortunately, they're simply just not going to be able to take all of these kids. Most tertiary institutions are dealing with insufficient space. Also, the knock-on effect from, you know, the whole fees must fall movement from last year, which, you know, will probably continue this year. Angie Mutsheha revealed earlier this week that more than 151,000 matriculants passed with access to a bachelor's study. But if you take a place like UCT, for example, they only have like 4,200 placements available for first-year applicants. 4,200.
That doesn't sound like a lot at all, right?
But they have received more than 26,000 applications.
Well, I guess that's a lot of people who are not going to find places in university. Just don't burn it down because you can't get in. Otherwise, you'll have zero places available next year.
Stellenbosch University received 17,000 applications. They only have space for about 5,000. So
sounds like a third of people are just going to get into these places. And really, the university should just choose the highest performing matric results. Forget about people who get 60s and 70s. I wouldn't get into university now. Would you?
What do you mean?
Like on your marks, if these
no, but how
these
did
two
you,
places were available.
No, but how did you manage to get in when you did get in?
I don't know. Maybe
back in your day.
Maybe there were just less people applying. I wouldn't have taken me over some of these genius kids that got 8 distinctions.
Yeah, it certainly feels, I mean, for some reason it sounds or feels as though the situation has gotten worse since, you know, the Cretaceous era when we were in university. We're old.
Oh my God.
So, I don't know, guys. It's going to be a tough one, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, the Golden Globes are on as we speak.
Yes.
So we'll have a look at those a little later on. Yeah, you know, a bunch of actresses and actors congratulating themselves and pretending for a living.
Oh, yeah. They have such a good life.
It's awesome.
Do you want
all,
me to...
All dressing up in dresses they don't actually own. Just to show the rest of us what it must be like to get stuff for free when you can actually afford the stuff that you're getting for free.
Mm.
Oh, it's beautiful. And I'll bet you there's a huge amount of political awareness at the Golden Globes this year. I see Meryl Streep won the Cecil B. DeMille Award, which usually means you're about 3 steps from the grave.
Oh, okay.
Poor Meryl. I thought she still had a career ahead of her. When they start giving you that award, you know, it's tickets. Didn't they give that to Kirk Douglas?
Who's like 100.
He is actually 100. He's actually 100. Oh, you know, you sometimes exaggerate. You say, oh, someone's 100. This guy's actually 100. All right, well, we got to get into sport with Ben. Let's see what's going on over there. Ben, over to you.
Well, there was an absolute shit ton of sport from the festive season, so I think I'll just catch you up on everything. There's 5 days until AFCON, but I'm sure you don't really care too much about that because Bafana are not going. They didn't qualify.
Oh, that's
well, we knew this,
embarrassing.
But it's just such a reminder.
But come on, we're in front of the rest of the continent when it comes to porn. We've got the biggest economy, or at least the 1, 2, or 3, depending on how Egypt and Nigeria are trouncing us. But we can't get our football we love football. We're a football-loving country. Everybody spends their weekends watching local football, and we cannot get into our own continent's championship?
It is a bit of a crisis, I would say. Like, it's become such a norm to expect, oh, well, they didn't make it, but, you know, it's Bafana. That's a horrible mindset. They really should be there. Zimbabwe's there.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't want to nitpick and say this team's there and this team's there, but Zimbabwe's there. Yeah, so let's just put that...
They've got nothing on the shelves in the supermarkets there again. It's like history repeating itself. Yeah.
So that's 5 days to go, and it's in Gabon. Saturday the 14th of Jan, you'll see Gabon versus Guinea-Bissau, if you're into that. There was lots happening in the English Premier League. All the top teams, well, they had good festive seasons. Arsenal, well, they were just Arsenal. The big results from the festive season.
And Ben says this is an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
Shame, Ben.
Well, they had a chance to really, you know, get some points, but, you know, when you draw 3-3 to Bournemouth, yeah, you're not going to go anywhere other than your customary fourth. But the big result from the festive season was Spurs beating Chelsea 2-0. Now, Chelsea got onto that amazing winning streak, and they just kept going and going and going. And then out of nowhere, Spurs, well, they look pretty strong. So if they can beat a team like Chelsea, who have been amazing so far, Arsenal might not even make the fourth. Because Liverpool's up there. They also had a great result over the festive season. They beat Man City 1-0. Man United have won 14 in a row in all tournaments. So now we've got a tangible top six in the English Premier League, which I'll get into as the games come back. But it was bloody exciting. One thing that doesn't ever go away during the festive season is the football, which is really nice. The English Premier League. So you're getting games on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Boxing Day, all the time when you're just too fat to get off the couch. You can watch this. It's brilliant. It's a nice way to catch up. There was also FA Cup action over the festive season. And, well, again, the big teams all had no real problems. They went through. Arsenal left it very late against Preston's North End. And, well, Liverpool yesterday, they drew 1-1 with Plymouth. Now, Plymouth, they're a fourth division team, so don't feel bad if you didn't know who they were. Liverpool fielded their youngest ever team. They included 5 teenagers in this team. Such was their disregard for Plymouth's abilities. So people are going, wow, that's great. Liverpool had the youngest ever team. They're blooding talent. But it means bugger all if you can't beat Plymouth. I mean, come on.
Wow.
I always thought Plymouth was just a rock.
That's that's where the Mayflower apparently... The ship with the pilgrims that landed in America, it struck Plymouth Rock.
Okay.
That was where it landed.
Well, there's a football team, Plymouth Argyle. As soon as someone puts Argyle towards the end, they're just trying so hard to become serious. So Chelsea, they beat Peterborough 4-1. Spurs, too good. Aston Villa, 2-0, they beat them. And Man City, they hammered West Ham. So those are all your third round big results. The fourth round takes place tomorrow. Sorry, the fourth round draw takes place today, Monday. So I'll tell you all about that. Tomorrow the League Cup starts. Again, I'll tell you about that. Wayne Rooney matched Sir Bobby Charlton's Man United scoring record, which basically means he will soon be called Sir Wayne. It's going to happen.
Wow.
Whether we like it or not, it'll be Sir Wayne Rooney at some stage.
Well, that's proof that those titles mean nothing anymore.
Very little. Yeah, very little.
You kick a ball around and suddenly you're like a national hero.
In local football, despite the fact that Bafana are not going to AFCON, there is going to be an international break. So the PSL only resume on the 8th of Feb. Supersport United currently on top. They've played 14 matches for the 25 points. Wits 13 matches for 25, and Cape Town City 15 matches for 25. So goal difference separate in those three, but that's your top in the PSL. But cricket, everyone's been talking about cricket, and if you know nothing about the game, the word Colpack has come up. Now, this is not something you do with your meat if you want it to last longer.
Yep.
Colpack is something that's really just dividing the South African cricketing landscape right now. So Kyle Abbott, he's been amazing. He was dicked around by Cricket South Africa for so long because he was in, he was out. He was the best player of the World Cup, but then Philander came back.
I was going to ask you about this. So is it as controversial as people saying it is?
To a degree. Otherwise, it's just the good old pitchforks and mob coming out for nothing. So Kyle Abbott, firstly, you can't question the guy's commitment. He's given absolutely everything. He's not the most marketable of guys. He looks a bit strange in the greater scheme of things. I'm not meaning anything ill towards Kyle here. But here's a guy who's just given everything because all he's got is his abilities, right? Other guys can get by in other things, a bit of hype and a bit of marketing. This dude's given his everything. And he's been a great player, being very consistent. He's 29. He's at the latter stage of his career. He's got a chance last year where he wasn't a certainty in the Proteas test team. He was given a chance to have 4 years of certainty overseas, make a bit more money, people will treat you like a god, and you'll play in England. So that's great, okay? So he took it. And it came out in this final test we saw at Newlands in the second test against Sri Lanka. And then people were calling him a turncoat and questioning his commitment.
I love the way a whole bunch of people who've never been offered a job anywhere are busy accusing Kyle Abbott of being unpatriotic and a whole lot of other stuff that they're not in their spare time, let alone in their work time.
And also patriotism is a really dangerous thing. Look, you've got to understand Cricket South Africa's perspective here as well, is that they've put faith into players. But in Kyle Abbott's case, I think it's been paid and then some. So Kyle Abbott's contract was terminated straight away. Haroon Logat says, well, we're not going to persist with him anymore. But then Riley Rousseau also took a call pack. His case is a bit more dick, though, because he basically lost contact with everybody. He didn't speak to the coach. He went off the radar. And then suddenly out of nowhere, it's like, yeah, I'm taking a callback contract. Now, as Russell Domingo, the Proteas coach, rightly pointed out, he scored 4 or 5 ducks. The team persisted with him, and he is repaying them now by going overseas. Now, Riley Rousseau is 27, so if he goes over there, he can still play for England. Now, the callback contract it's actually got nothing to do with cricket, the callback. Colpack was, I think it was handball, was some real trivial sport. Some guy was released from his German side. He was from Eastern Europe. And a Colpack basically means you can give up the chance to play for your own country and you can go play in England as a non-official overseas professional. That's the very, very cut-down, watered-down version of that. So you're going to hear a lot more, but Maros Colpack, there was a Slovakian handball player. There you go. That was him. Nice bit of trivia. The Proteas have been bloody brilliant in the test field against Sri Lanka. They beat them in PE, they beat them in Newlands, and Pakistan, they went to Australia and they got hammered. 3-0, took an absolute beating, collapses all over the place. Steve Smith, just incredible. He was the man of the series there with an average over 100. And right now the Aussie Big Bash is on the go as well. In tennis, Novak Djokovic, well, he's beaten Andy Murray. The year has not been very long, but he's already beaten him.
Oh, okay, so Murray's reign of terror didn't last very long.
Well, his 28-match winning streak is now finished because Djokovic beat him. Now, the Aussie Open takes place from the 16th to 19th of January. Right? So that's the big one. The first Grand Slam major tournament of the year. Now, basically, Djokovic owns this. He makes everyone his bitch right here at the Rod Laver Arena. So Murray was the talk of the town last year. He got to world number one. His mum was very happy. But Novak's basically come back and said, look, Inga, this isn't going to be your year. It's going to be my year again.
Get off of it.
In fighting, Ronda Rousey got the shit beaten out of her again.
Oh, that was hectic. Brutal.
Brutal.
I just saw a little video clip and a couple of pictures. My God. I mean, Ronda Rousey at the end of it looked like Donald Trump.
Yeah, she didn't look good. So when you think about it, Ronda Rousey in 2008, I think it was, she won the Olympic gold medal for judo, right?
Yeah.
So she came into this UFC thing. She was just judoing all these girls and everyone's going, wow, this chick can fight. But then because she raised the profile of UFC,
now,
a whole bunch of other women
have come in.
Now you must watch the TV show Kingdom to get an understanding about UFC and fighting. Yeah. So a whole bunch of women who've been beating up their brothers for a whole bunch of years, they're like, hang on a second, I can fight as well. So suddenly Ronda Rousey was like, okay, well, I'm going to try to beat these girls the way I know best. And all they're doing is they're just punching her in the head. And she hasn't got the skills and the sort of foresight.
Slips out of the
headphone
jacket.
That's good. She hasn't got the skills and the ability to kind of get away from this. So her footwork was nowhere. Did nothing with the swaying of the head. And a whole bunch of women now know that they can beat her, and beat her well. So Amanda Nunes, that was the last one to really kick her in the head. 48-second knockout.
I saw people complaining about how Ronda Rousey, you know, got millions for that fight and ultimately ended up making more money than the actual winner.
Yeah,
and people were saying, yo, like 48 seconds to have, you know, to be beaten up and you walk away with millions.
Yeah.
Not so bad.
No, it's not so bad. In the greater scheme of things, before those 48 seconds, nobody really cared who Amanda Nunes was in the greater scheme of world sport. But they all knew who Ronda Rousey was, who is now basically finished. There's no way she can keep going on, because people can punch harder and faster, and she'll just be on her back again. And then finally in golf, Wayne Westin committed suicide in front of his wife. This is a tough story, this one.
In golf?
So people were saying, you know, really sad to hear the passing of Wayne Westin. The guy broke into his wife's house, apparently. Now they've had some issues, and he committed suicide in front of her. So that's a rough story.
Yeah,
but
this is where you don't say, I'm so sorry to hear about the passing. This is not as if someone just quietly passed into the night while they were asleep. You know, this is a guy who went and he shot himself in front of his wife. It's just disgusting.
Pretty hectic.
And by the way, can I just suggest, I'm totally anti-suicide. I don't think anyone should consider it. But if you are, please do it quietly and in a calm and a clean manner where you don't involve other people, if you don't mind.
Speaking of golfing suicides, Gareth, to back up your point, the guy who invented the Masters, okay?
There's a lot of golfing suicide. Is this a thing?
This is back in the 30s or 40s, whatever. This old racist who basically built Augusta National and started the Masters. He decided one day he's not going to live anymore. He got his hair cut just right. He went to a water hazard, and then right at the edge, he shot himself with a shotgun to make sure that his head would then go into the water.
Great move.
So there wouldn't be any stuff for people to clean up.
That's a real gentleman. That's why golf is the game of gentlemen.
And that's a real segue of a story, isn't it? Yes. Finally in golf, Rory McIlroy is here in South Africa.
Or why?
Probably tomorrow.
What for?
It's the SA Open, guys. This is the biggest thing.
In sporting terms,
this is bigger than Bieber coming for a musical tour. Rory McIlroy is in the country to play the SA Open. It's going to be completely ruined by the rain in Joburg, but he is here. And more about that and a whole bunch more sports later.
All right, Ben, thank you. There's our first sports report of the morning. Here's our first report on the money. That's right. She's Anthea Gardner. And she's right here with us. Hiya, Anthea.
Good morning, guys. I'm well, thanks.
Good. I saw a couple of really encouraging signs when I did check in on my app over the holidays to see what was going on in the markets. Am I right?
Yes, you are absolutely right.
Yeah,
at the end of the year, we had a nice little bounce. Last week, very...
Are all the idiots coming back to the stock exchange this week? So we'll see it go back into the red.
I don't think you're allowed to talk about our investors like that.
Our investors. I'm talking about everybody
else.
But
everyone else is coming back for sure. They'll be back this week, so we'll see what happens. I mean, last week it started, but it was very quiet. You know, we didn't have a single $1 billion day of trade. I mean, everything was below $1 billion. But at least we got a positive close for the week. We were up about 0.5%, so not too bad. Naspers on Friday was up 5%, almost 5%. It had such a good run.
What for? Do you think it's people sitting around with their families on holiday who have lots of money invested and they just see something and go, I'll buy some of that?
Naspers on Friday was a China story.
Oh.
So China has kind of stabilized the yuan. That's the first thing probably, and people were quite excited about that. The negative, the downside of China kind of stabilizing its currency was that Bitcoin was down, I think, almost 20% last week.
And Bitcoin went up so beautifully the week before.
And last year, in fact,
Lingham was on the phone to me. He was telling me, Bitcoin, you see.
I made you a millionaire.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah.
It was, Bitcoin was the best performing asset last year out of all the currencies, all the markets, all the commodities.
All right.
But the thing is with it, it's so volatile. I mean, I still don't really understand. And I don't really understand why, if the Chinese currency is stabilizing, Bitcoin should be falling 20%. You know, there's a real lack of kind of drivers for this, real fundamental, honest drivers for this asset class, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
For want of a better word, I suppose. But so last week there was very little South African news, and it really was all about financial markets globally. Oh, and of course Trump's tweets. That man.
Yeah.
So his latest victim is Toyota. They got hit last week. The share was down.
Wow, because this guy tweets and your shares go down.
Although, I must say, I did look at some of the shares that he has tweeted about, and because they've all fallen, you know, so it was Boeing, and then it was, there were so many of them. But they've all recovered, except, of course, Toyota now. Toyota's still a bit in the doldrums. So I think if you are a trader and Donald Trump tweets about a share, wait for it to fall, buy some, and then it should bounce. That seems to be how
it's gone. Let's make money off Donald Trump. I like this.
Yeah, so we should be, we'll just watch him. So really, we should be buying Toyota today then, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he said that he would tax them if they built a plant in Mexico. I mean, what is wrong with this man?
Well, he's trying to keep jobs in America.
Toyota's not an American company. Like, how dare he interfere?
But if they make some cars in America,
sure,
it's good for America. He's just looking after his own.
So, if you were an Asian company and the president of the country of America was telling you that he was going to tax you because you were building plants somewhere else, surely your first reaction would actually be to withdraw the plant where you're building in America.
No, because then you'll lose a huge amount of business from Americans because they're patriotic, they've got a huge economy, and they buy tons of cars.
Yeah,
it's
but
bad for business.
They're so patriotic. Don't they buy American cars mostly anyway?
No, it's more the 80s that did that.
Now is it?
No, they're buy German.
And their cars,
anything.
Yes, guys.
I think if you're Toyota, you build in the U.S. and Mexico anyway. Like, screw what Trump says.
But, like, I know this whole thing about, you know, they took our jabs. You don't want to have that kind of stuff happening. But at the same time, if there's a reason why they're building the plants in Mexico, not because of the fajitas and that kind of stuff. It's because the cars then become cheaper. If you're building in America, you get more expensive cars. So the greater scheme of things, do you want more expensive cars or do you want 700 jobs?
And then maybe don't export.
America great again.
And maybe don't export the Mexican-made cars to the U.S., but rather to the rest of the world who doesn't care.
You said Mexican-made. I've got a Mexican-made. Her name is Kate Stanzer. She's great. It's amazing. Tremendous maid.
Okay. Talking about the U.S., we also had non-farm payrolls in the U.S. on Friday. They only created 156,000 jobs. They were expecting to create 175,000. Initially, the market came off, but then they realized that the number before had been revised upwards, and so the market carried on higher. But
I mean, Liz, wouldn't we love to add 100,000 jobs?
Come on. Absolutely. And that's for the month.
Jeez.
And so the one of the big concerns in the last couple of years has been that even though they're creating jobs, is that there's no wage growth. And someone was telling me on Friday that if you had lost your job and you were kind of middle or the median of paid jobs in the U.S., you lost your job in 2008, 2009, and you suddenly got a job back now, the wage pay was so much lower that you had to take three jobs just to make up for the one job that you were that you had in 2008, 2009. And so that has been the real issue. But at least last year, we saw about 3% in U.S. wage growth, so how much they get paid. And I think what this does is it bodes well for the fact that the U.S. Fed said at the end of last year that they're going to hike the interest rate three times this year.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So, of course, you know, that kind of puts Trump on the back foot because he needs money if he's going to make America great again. And this money that he needs is going to cost him more. So this is all kind of going to come to a head, I guess.
Who is this Janet Yellen anyway?
Who cares?
Right? Yeah, who is she?
And then just like a couple of other things. Disney, one of them, I see one of the big banks has upped its price target on Disney share price. It's a share that I've liked for a while now. It is up 20% since kind of end of October of last year.
Because of Star Wars.
For sure. And they did another great thing, right? And then they were worried about distribution. They also got Netflix involved. And there was a lot of talk about who was going to be the new CEO, and take over from Bob Iger. Sheryl Sandberg's name was thrown into the pot.
She's the Facebook CEO.
But she said no, and it looks now like they might go after Reed Hastings, who's the founder of Netflix. And there's a lot of talk about this. And in fact, it's interesting because just at the end of last year, George Soros, you know, the big investor who got the call right on the pound in, I don't know when it was, 2001. Yeah. He actually dumped all his Disney stock at the end of last year and bought Netflix and Alphabet and General Motors. So the fact that Disney now suddenly is on this kind of upward trend looks interesting to me, and hopefully it'll continue.
All right. That's it.
Yeah, there's not much else going on at the market at the moment.
That's okay for today. Yeah. Thank you, Anthea. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning at quarter to seven or thereabouts. Have an excellent start to 2017 and bring us lots of good news about the world of investing, please.
Indeed, I will try. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you. Mubs, can we have a quick look at the headlines and then we'll take a break? I've got a surprise or two for you and lots of other cool stuff happening. What do you got for us?
Okay, so in an interesting about turn with regards to Donald Trump, he has now, through his chief of staff, kind of accepted the U.S. intel that has blamed Russia for, you know, that hack that supposedly led to his win.
That's embarrassing because he and Putin were best friends.
He's not denying that entities in Russia were behind this particular campaign. That's the word from his incoming chief of staff, which is more than Donald Trump has said himself. And he hasn't responded to calls for Washington to retaliate. Intelligence officials allege that Moscow directed a series of hacks in order to help Donald Trump win the election. Trump has expressed skepticism about Russia's role. He declined to say whether he agrees that the meddling was done on his behalf. So, which then begs the question:
who did it then?
Well, I mean,
who authorized it? Who was their inside man? What was it for?
Is Vladimir Putin officially the most powerful leader on the planet if he supposedly helped elect America's next president?
They are saying
that definitely makes it sound like he is.
Listen, they've been saying this guy's the most powerful man in the world for the longest time.
He probably is, right? I mean, Vladimir Putin runs the world.
He runs the world.
What a scary thought.
Guess what? There's a new master slaves.
So we're definitely getting nuclear power then. Because that's
oh, yeah.
He's already
oh,
sold
yeah, yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. We also
South
have
Africa,
that.
I bankrupt you to give you nuclear power. In return, you become my slaves forever. It's great to be Russian. All right. Nice.
Trump has also broken tradition with regards to his inauguration, which will be taking place later this month.
Yep.
The man who is, you know, responsible for doing the inaugural announcement, his name is Charles Brotman, 89 years old. He was once the voice of the Washington Senators baseball team, and he has announced every inauguration parade since Dwight D. Eisenhower. This was back in 1957. So, I mean, he announced all of them, Bush, Obama.
Trump doesn't want him.
Trump has decided that he is going with somebody new this year, breaking tradition.
Kanye.
yo, let me tell y'all bitches and niggas. I got the new president right here.
I mean, this Charles Brotman has had this job for the past 60 years.
Yeah.
But in his place, Trump's team have tapped.
I thought he was making America great again, costing an 80-year-old his job.
Ah, he's changing it up. I mean, you know, it's time for new blood and all of that, I suppose. It's not the worst thing in the world. Yeah, and then also, you know, there are a whole bunch of, you know, these Hollywood people who take themselves seriously, a whole bunch of them have said that if they get invited, they won't be attending because, you know.
I heard they want to do a concert. The Democrats want to do a concert on the same night of the inauguration where they'll have all of them, like Beyonce and Jay-Z and Bruce Springsteen and everybody
Ellen
else.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Right.
KT Para.
They'll have all of them performing. And Trump's got what? None of these celebrities want to perform at his inauguration. So I think he's got the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all he's got so far.
He should just get Kanye West, actually, to perform. How come the two of them haven't sealed that deal?
Well, according to Kanye, he's the greatest artist of all time. And according to Donald, Kanye is the greatest artist of all time. So I don't see why they're even messing around.
Match made in heaven.
Listen to what Meryl Streep had to say at the Oscars. It's getting quite a lot of action this morning. Golden Globes. Who can ever keep track with these dumb awards? But this is the only occasion where actors get to take themselves seriously, where they're not pretending to be someone else on screen. So let's listen to Meryl. She is probably the greatest actress of our lifetimes.
Thank you, Hollywood Foreign Press. Just to pick up on
you. Stop being emotional, for God's sake. It's just an award. It's an award other actors have given you. Huh?
They always get emotional.
Ay vey.
Hugh Laurie said, "You and all of us in this room really belong to the most vilified segments in American society right now. Think about it. Hollywood, foreigners, and the press."
Well, they are. These are the world's most pampered elite of all time ever. There is no more pampered elite in the history of humanity. No aristocracy, no oligarchy, no royal family has ever been treated by the universe as well as these assholes in this room. They are all rich. They are all famous. They all have disdain for ordinary people. They have incredible access to each other and to influence, and they're all miserable. Do you know why? Because they all stood behind Hillary and nobody listened. That's what the problem is here. These are a bunch of people who are that face like a smacked ass because they've been told by the world and by the people of the United States who support the movie industry, and if they don't have the support of their own people, they've got nothing. You got Sarah Jessica Parker and Annette Bening sitting there. They're all carrying on and tweeting about Hillary and Trump's this Nazi and all the... And the American people didn't even listen to them. They could care less. And now they all have to go back to their big mansions with their $16 million of movie paychecks and sit around and commiserate with each other about how their influence isn't as big as they thought it was. Do me a favor and cry a river. A big one. A big, broad river that you can water the whole of California with because they've still got a drought there. How pathetic is this self-flagellating nonsense? We're the most demonized members of society. Yes, average Americans hate you, and it's about time.
Are we? And you know, what is Hollywood anyway? It's just a bunch of people from other places. I was born and raised and educated in the public schools of New Jersey. Viola was born in a sharecropper's cabin in South Carolina, came up in Central Falls, Rhode Island. Sarah Paulson was born in Florida, raised...
I hate this virtue signaling. I hate when people who've done really well in life tell you how poor they once were, so that you can feel like ordinary old you. You might get somewhere one day. Oh, Meryl Streep made it out of New Jersey. So lucky her. But how about those people still stuck in New Jersey, Meryl? They're having a much worse time than you right now. So you telling your story about how you got out of New Jersey doesn't help them at all. It makes them even more bitter about you.
By a single mom in Brooklyn, Sarah Jessica Parker was one of seven or eight kids from Ohio.
There are more Jessica Parkers? There are more? That family's bigger? Do me a favor.
Amy Adams was born in Vicenza, Veneto, Italy. And Natalie Portman was born in Jerusalem. Where are their birth certificates?
What?
And the beautiful Ruth Negga was born in Addis Ababa.
Oh, and notice that these are all women who've made it up through the... I'm so sick of this narrative. It is so boring. I'm so tired of this victim-centered culture of ours. Do me a favor and shut up, Meryl. I'm already bored with you, and you used to be my favorite actress. Now I'm never going to watch a movie of yours again.
Ethiopia, raised in London.
Unless you prepare... how about you plan to be a white man in your next movie? Then I'll maybe watch.
No, in Ireland, I do believe. And she's here nominated for playing a small town girl from Virginia. Ryan Gosling, like all the nicest people, is Canadian.
So that's a tough story, that you were Canadian? That doesn't fit with anything. She threw him in as an afterthought to try and make it look a little more democratic.
Oh,
Meryl, this is bad, Meryl. This is so bad. And this is your swan song. This is like your Cecil B. DeMille Award.
And Dev Patel was born in Kenya, raised in London, is here for playing an Indian raised in Tasmania. So Hollywood is crawling with outsiders and foreigners. And if we kick them all out, you'll have nothing to watch but football and mixed martial arts, which are not the arts.
Yeah, but more people care about the Meryl than they do about you.
And that's making more money than you. Ronda Rousey's pulling a bigger crowd than Meryl.
Ronda Rousey's beaten Trump face is more important than yours right now.
I mean, what is this? Can you imagine anything more outrageous than this room full of privileged people telling everybody else in the world why they are the representatives of everything that isn't privilege?
Yes,
it's like those rich people who tell you that they know what poor people think.
It's like an ANC rally.
Or what they know what poor people need.
Yeah.
But we have created these people.
Well, that's why we're bringing them down we're telling them we're not interested in their nonsense anymore. Shut up and act. And get a minimum wage for it, too. How about that?
Oh, no, but they would never be able to give up their current lifestyles for that. Don't be outrageous.
No, there should be a maximum wage. Denzel Washington once said we get paid too much.
Suddenly you expect Meryl Streep to hop on a bus with regular Americans. Are you mad?
She's never been on a bus. Certainly not since she was Meryl Streep. All right, listen. Should I surprise you now, or should we save the suspense a little bit?
Ooh! Okay, no. Okay, no, give us time. Like, delay.
Okay. All right. All right, in a minute, I'll bring you a surprise.
This is CliffCentral.com.